Tell me that doesn't make you smile hearing that. I remember jumping up and down, hugging my kid, twirling around the room thinking I was going to pass out. It went dark and my knees got weak. Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Tommy. Thanks.
That made you smile, didn't it? How can it not?
Sure did. Not once, but twice and three. Hearing it again, but because you knew at that moment that was they it. Had won it.
That's exactly right.
You knew it.
And I remember, man, yeah, I'm sure all of us have moments that we spent with her. Matter of fact, text me, 504-260-1870. If you remember where you were when that happened, because honestly, for the first time in my life, I thought I was going to pass out. The room went darker. My knees got weak because, like you're saying, Mike, that sealed it. We knew that we won the Super Bowl. Long time ago, a lot of ground between then and now. But let's talk about the ground between the Atlanta, Carolina game and the Atlanta game, and the ground between the Atlanta game and the Browns game, and the difference in the team.
Well, the big difference this week will be you got your center back in Eric McCoy. This team has not played the same offensively since Eric McCoy went down very early in the Eagles game. And their running attack has been almost stagnant. Eric's a really good football player, and he's one of the few guys on this team. He could start for any team in the NFL. If at not at center, he could start at left or right guard. He's that good. And so you're getting him back in the lineup, and that's a big plus for this football team. You sort of beat up in the secondary, and that's the big change. And Lattimore was traded off. So on the back end of that, that's where I think teams are going to try to go after you. But they haven't stopped the run all year, Tommy. So why would I sort of get away from that? And I know Nick Chubb is not the same guy as he was 2 years ago. Nick, arguably, he was one of the top two running backs in the NFL. And he has a knee injury. I really question if he could ever come back from it. Yeah. And he's back. How much back is in question?
Mike, getting back to Eric McCoy, you remember years ago when I sat you down and I told you about the importance of being the center on the offensive line in the NFL. Remember that when I told you that story? When I sat you down?
Yeah, I remember.
You came to me and you said, Tommy, teach me about football. And I said, all right, Mike, have a seat. And then... And I tell you about the.
No, but Eric.
I tell you about the importance of the. No, but seriously, tell people what you taught me and you taught us all about the importance of the center in the NFL. Go ahead.
I always believe it's the second hardest position to play in football. Quarterback's the first. But the center, he basically directs all the other offensive linemen, he's the communication guy. And today it's even a little bit more difficult because I think maybe in years past, most of the blitzing was coming off the edge. Today, it's coming up the middle. And there's delay blitzes and everything else they want to shoot at you. And so you better have a guy that knows what the hell he's doing.
And Mike, on these delayed blitzes, they are so quick. It's amazing that a guy can get from 5 yards deep in the backfield, looking like he's in coverage, to in the face of the quarterback in the blink of an eye. It's amazing how quick they are and how they disguise them.
And when you look at it, that quarterback, when he catches the ball from the snap, he is eyeing, because that guy's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
He watches him running toward him. It affects everything. And it affects where you throw the football. They try to blow up your launch pad. And when that guy's running through, you visually catch him.
Well, first you're trying to catch a snap. You're trying to catch a snap and keep an eye on
Correct.
Him to determine whether or not he's coming. So if you want to play quarterback in the NFL, you got a lot going on. Oh, and by the way, there are reads and progressions you got to go through. We'll take a break, pick it up. We come back tomorrow. LSU taking on the Gators at the Swamp in Florida. Tim tells me the weather's going to be about 70 degrees and nice. Coverage starts at 10 a.m. with our own Mike Dettelier and former Tiger quarterback Herb Tyler. They have great chemistry together, great insights. Doors open at 11 o'clock. The show starts at 10, I think. Right, Mike?
At 10, correct.
10. The doors open at 11, so you can go hang around outside the windows like they do at NBC on a Today Show. Then 11 o'clock, they open the doors at Acme Oyster House at Baton Rouge, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. It really is fun to listen to with both Herb and Mike and their insights. It's presented by MAP Construction. Acme's got 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials. Pregame at 12:30 from LSU. Kickoff with Chris Blair and Jacob Hester at 2:30. Hang out, watch the game at Acme. Get it started with Mike and Herb. Doors open at 11. Coverage starts at 10 tomorrow on WWL. 8:22. Traffic now, WWL. 8:27 now on this Friday morning, November 15th. Saints taking on Jameis Winston and the Browns. Mike, you know, Maya Angelou once famously said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. I think Jameis Winston has shown us who he is, has he not?
Okay, just like we talked about Derek Carr, he is who he is.
Yep.
There's going to be the roller coaster ride with him. That's never going to change with him. Jameis is the exact same way. You can watch him throw a football, and he make a couple throws. You say, wow, look at that. I mean, right on target.
And then, wait a minute. And then he'll make a couple of throws, and you'll say, wow, look at that, right?
And no, you're saying, why did he throw that?
Yeah, completely you know, different. But you're using the same words, just completely differently, right?
Yeah, and maybe a few adjectives. But that is the way Jameis is going to be. For the rest of his career. That's the way Derek Carr is going to be the rest of his career. There are certain books kind of on certain people and everybody that plays in the NFL. He gets hot. Man, he can tear you up throwing the football. But the last time he played, we saw one touchdown, three interceptions. And he could have had a fourth. The guy dropped it. The first game, he was really good. But he threw two passes up. The Ravens dropped interception. So you understand that he is going to make some big plays for you, and he's going to also create an opportunity for the defense to make a big play.
Now, I don't want you to answer this on the air. I'm just going to ask you if you know the answer, and I'll see if people can text in with the answer, okay? What do Jameis Winston and Joel Osteen have in common? Don't answer it, Mike. I think you know the answer, but we'll just leave it and see if the audience knows. Tell me about Jerry Jeudy.
Jerry was first-round pick wideout from Alabama. He's one of the best wide receivers Alabama had produced in years, him and Julio Jones. And he sort of had a bit of a rocky road in the NFL. But him and Jameis sort of on the same wavelength. And he looks for Jerry Jeudy. In watching the film, he sort of tilts his head toward Jerry Jeudy on almost every play. He's watching to see where Jeudy is out on the field. So he's a guy that I think Winston wants to feed the football to. The other guy is Njoku at tight end. The Saints have had difficulties covering athletic tight ends. Njoku is a really good tight end in this business.
He made headlines a couple of years ago, if I remember right. That's when he kind of burst on the scene 2 years ago?
Yeah, he was a first-round pick wide out from Miami of Florida, but he's really good.
And then we got to talk about the Cleveland defense, too, and who their guy is. We know who it is. We'll talk about it when we come back. If you know the answer to that question, what do Joel Osteen and Jameis Winston have in common? You can text me 504-260-1870, 830, time for WWL First News. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mike Dettelier, talking about the Saints and the Browns. Mike, let's talk about that Browns defensive line, because although they're 2-7, I guess it is, they got a stud on a defensive line.
They sure do. Miles Garrett, Texas A&M, player. He was the first overall pick in the draft. few years back and tell me, he did something 2 weeks ago I have not seen since J.J. Watt did it with the Houston Texans. They played the Chargers. And knowing Jim Harbaugh, his deal is, hey, man, we ain't scared of no Myles Garrett. We know we can block him. He normally is situated at left defensive end, which means he goes up against a right tackle. And that guy was Joe Alt, a very high first-round pick in the April draft. In four consecutive plays, over two series, he had three sacks. It was, we got to drop that plan. That's not working. But in four plays, in over two series, three quarterback sacks. Every other down after that, he had a tight end or a running back helping his right tackle. That's how dominant a player Myles Garrett is. And he redirects your game plan because you think you can block him one-on-one, but, you know, he teaches you you can't. So in this game, one of the matchups to watch, Myles Garrett at left defensive end going up against Trevor Penning. And we, listen, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen development in Trevor Penning. He's played better than what we've seen in the past. Man, you talking about you passed a couple of tests now. Now you're given a midterm and a big one when you got to go up against a guy like Myles Garrett.
Tell me who scored well last week. They said they had the best game of his career. Was that 70? Is that Trevor
Penning? Trevor Penning.
Yeah. And that's
Trevor, it was the best I've ever seen him play in a Saints uniform. He was always a good run blocker, but I thought he did a nice job in pass protection. One of the things in noticing how he plays, I thought over the first 2 years of his career, he was taking the blows as an offensive lineman, which you don't like to see. That guy pushes you back. Well, he was delivering the blows in pass protection. Mm-hmm. You could see, man, those arms were coming out, and he didn't let that defensive end sort of shock him at the point of attack. Well, you better get ready this week because Myles Garrett will do this one maneuver. He'll give you an outside move, and then you kind of set up outside, and then he cuts it real hard inside, and he beats you. That's what exactly thing he did Alt. The first two sacks were outside sacks, and then, you know, Alt starts to set up for an outside move. He cuts it inside. Straight shot to Justin Herbert. So you better be cognizant of Myles Garrett because he can change a game, and you can't go one-on-one with him. You got to get a tight end or a running back to kind of chip and sort of help out. Here's the crazy thing about the Browns. Myles Garrett's a really good football player. He's one of the top three players in the NFL defensively. Their secondary is the strength of their team. Tommy, they don't have a one interception this year. Not one. That, to me, is shocking because you look at that secondary is talented, really talented. And one of the guys back there is Grant Delpit. People remember him, former LSU All-American. But they have no interceptions this year. None.
Tell me about the Honey Badger and kind of baiting Jameis Winston a little bit with that sound bite. Every time I think he's done, he comes up with a big play. Thoughts on how the Saints and Ugo Amadi, I think, played pretty well last week, considering. Thoughts on the Saints secondary, Mike?
I think Jameis is going to go after the cornerbacks. You know, he knows them and they know him, okay? Because he's been there. He's went up against these guys in practice. So for the Saints, you got to be able to move him around. When he can stay in that pocket, and he is a pocket passer, and you let him throw, that's when he's dangerous. When he's not effective is when you got him moving and he got to throw off the run. So you got to affect him in getting a pass rush. And he doesn't like it in his face. So that would be right up the middle. But I'm certain because of the injuries to Lattimore. Paulson Adebo, and you trade Lattimore off, and now you've moved, you know, one of your corners who was basically a nickel corner, Alante Taylor, outside. Now I'm going to test them. I'm going to test them, see how well they can cover. And I think he's going to try to bait a little bit too. It'll be interesting with Tyrann Mathieu. Because I think he wants to go over the middle. He likes to throw that pass over the middle. And that may be more Njuku than anybody else. And he's 6'4.5". Mm-hmm. You know, so I think he's going to want to test Tyrann right over the top with a throw to the tight end. Because he likes that play. Because we've talked to him, and first thing he tells you is, man, I like that throw over the middle to the tight end. Because I'm always going to have the advantage with height. He's right.
Let me take a break. We'll talk a little bit LSU Gators when we come back. Mike Dettelier, our guest, 851, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. All right, 8:55 and a half, back to Mike Dettelier. One more Saints-Browns thing before we move on to Tigers-Gators. Mike, Jameis Winston, as I remember, is a pocket passer. So if you can get him off the spot, we don't really have to worry about containing him, right?
Well, no, he's not one to take off running. Every once in a while he will, but he likes to throw the football from the pocket. He feels comfortable there where he can set up, and then that ball comes out of that his hand fast, and it's a quick release. And so, yeah, what you're trying to do is to get some pressure on him, and especially up the middle because, man, he's got his radar sort of tuned in to guys rushing him right up the middle. And when he starts to move, his accuracy rate drops off dramatically.
Think the Saints win the game?
I think it's close, Tommy.
Okay.
Man, that number on interim coaches in game two, I don't think they've won. It's less than 20% of the games. That number, man, if Buddy was around, he would have every nickel right on Cleveland.
That would get
because
his attention.
That number is huge on interim coaches in game two. I think it's like 18% of the time that they win game two.
Well, let's hope that Jameis and the Browns are part of that 18%. Let's talk about Tigers.
Yes.
Tigers Gators real quick. Mike, what do you think?
This is one of the most underrated big time rivalries in college football at one time. They didn't dislike one another, Tommy. They hated one another. And the other thing is Talent Bowl. Over the last 11 years, these two teams have produced 138 NFL draft choices. But last year, Florida produced one draft pick. Ricky Pearsall, first-round pick of the 49ers. It has dried up for them. Their defense doesn't look like – I remember Florida defenses – looking like in the past. This has to be a get-well game for LSU because Florida is really not playing well. And, man, they're not real good. You know, this ain't Alabama. Put it to you that way. They struggling on both sides of the football. And Billy Napier, he's been given that dreaded kiss of you're going to come back next year. I don't know about that, Tommy. I really don't. Well, if Billy does survive.
He was in a conversation being the LSU coach, too.
Yes, he was. But that was from media. That wasn't from Scott Woodward. I knew Scott wasn't going to hire Billy.
Okay.
Wasn't
going
to happen.
So you think LSU wins, yes?
Yes. And I think it's a comeback game for LSU. And, man, if they don't bounce back offensively against this defense, man, LSU's in trouble down the stretch. And it's been a rough last six quarters for LSU offensively, not only on defense, also on offense.
All right, I'm going to hang on to the 18% second week coaching victory with the interim coaches because of the Cleveland Brown Jameis Winston effect. Thank you, Mike. We'll be listening tomorrow at 10 o'clock when the coverage starts with LSU, you and Herb Tyler, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune.